Father, I just thank you this morning for this beautiful group of people, and I thank you, Father God, for their love for me and how they showed it to me today. I thank you, Father God, that you love each one of them desperately from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And Father, as you designated this month to be the month of love, then, Father, I'm asking that by the time the month ends, that they will love you, they will know you and love you like they've never known and loved you before. And Father, I truly do thank you for today. I thank you for every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just thought this is Love Month. This is my birthday month. Isn't that wonderful? Anybody else have a birthday this month? Then I'm all alone. Got it all by myself. I know, but Skip's not here, so he can't share it. Amen. God is really good. He's full of abundant love. And if we can just grab hold of that love, we have nothing to fear. All right? I see a whole lot of good coming in families because God said he was cleaning families up. And I do see a whole lot of good coming in families where we want, you know, any one of us once thought that God could never bring us back together. Where God is bringing families back together, because that's what he's working on right now, is families and men. He wants men into the house of God, and he wants families to be families and not battlegrounds. And as we hold this up before the Lord, you watch to see what happens, how he works on your family and gets things straightened out. So we are called to be ambassadors of love. I want you to listen to this today because this is instructions to each one of you, okay? Now I'm going to read what I read before. My glory is in the house, you know, God speaking. Let it fill your temples to overflowing. It is the overflow that will touch the unsaved and bring in the harvest of wounded soldiers that I have prepared to receive your words of truth. All right? It's the overflow of the glory of God that he placed within each one of you that is going to touch the unsaved. God needs vessels to work through. And he's been getting us prepared to be vessels that he can work through. Please let him finish the work he started within you. 1 John 3:8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God is manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And in James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. You know, with the problem in the body of Christ, we know, is they have no fear of God. But it says here, the demons believe and they tremble. They fear God. That's why you stay in your sin, is because you have no fear of God. And you think, well, I got away with it this long, God's not going to do anything. Yes, he is. And I'm hearing him right now, overnight, in the twinkling of my eye, you're going to know that I'm God. You know, God's not playing no more games. He's finished with this. Either you're his, either you're in, or you're out. All right? God said, when my son came to earth, he came for one purpose, and that was to destroy the works of the devil. So what is your purpose? I'm getting ahead of myself, but right now, what is your purpose in life? Why did God call you? To destroy the works of the devil. Not your brother, your sister, but the works of the devil. There are a variety of important reasons why Jesus came from heaven to earth. In John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to do what? To save the world through him. All right, number one, Jesus came to earth to seek and to save the lost. That's in Luke 19:10. His heart is not to condemn, but to bring salvation to all who will receive him. And he also did that for each one of us. All right. 1 John 4:9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Second point, Jesus was sent down from heaven to earth, died for our sins, and rose again from the dead to enable us to move from death to life. And you find that in John 5:24. From eternal condemnation in hell to eternal life in heaven. Jesus makes this life available to all of us, every one of us, if we will turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus, as next in Acts 20:21. Before Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus promised in John 14:19, because I live, you also will live. In Hebrews 2:15, he has delivered from fear of death all who repent and believe in him, and has granted us eternal life in his glorious presence. And then in Acts 3:26, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away from every one of you from your iniquities. Turn away from your sins and you're going to be blessed by God. And the third point, God the Father sent Jesus to bless you, not to curse you. God is not a vindictive, hostile God. He loves you. His heart and his intention are to bless you. And he does that through Jesus by turning each of us from our wicked ways. Heaven is a place of absolute 100% holiness, purity, and perfection, period. There will be no wickedness there. And through the saving power of Jesus Christ, God enables us to begin participating in that heavenly holiness by turning us from iniquity right now on earth. Everyone in here, you've been here for a long time. God has been taking, you know, your sins out of you little by little until he has you perfected. And what he told us the other night was that we are perfected and we are now ready to be sent out and bring in the harvest. Isn't that what he said? So you allowed God, you stayed the course. Even though sometimes you want to leave the course, you stayed the course and let God keep bringing those demons up out of you, demons of iniquity up out of you, until you was finally free. And I watched each one of you grow in that, in every area. But it really does my heart good when I see you when you first come in. And then just say even 6 months later, the change in you. And then as you keep progressing in God, you're perfected. And we can sing like we did this morning. Why? Because we're free. And you know, God said, this is love month, and lovers rejoice, right? So he's having us rejoice and having a good time. He said, there's going to come a day soon when you're going to be glad that you are rejoicing because the battle's going to get tough. He told me that during praise and worship. So guys, enjoy your freedom right now in dancing and rejoicing, as I don't know what's going to be coming down the road. The fifth point is Jesus was sent to preach the good news of God's kingdom. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says, Jesus taught us how to pray in this manner. Therefore, pray. This is Jesus praying. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I remember when I was going to high school, to keep myself, I babysitted at night, and I babysat this Jewish child. So I put it first night, I put her to bed and I start praying this prayer. She's, no, we don't do that. I said, you don't? No, that's not good. Don't ever pray like that with me again. Then the next day I got chastised by her mother. You don't ever pray that ungodly prayer with my daughter ever again. They didn't believe in God. You know, that a lot of Jews didn't. We know that, and that's why all the problem. But that little child knew, you do not say that prayer. And so I hope they're saved now. All right, John the Baptist's first biblically recorded message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you'll find that in Matthew 3:2. Jesus's first recorded public preaching was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you'll find that in Matthew 4:17. And in this dispensation of time, as ambassadors of Christ, our message should be repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's just stop there. How many people chastise you because you say you have to get out of your sin? You know, John the Baptist did it. Jesus did it. If you go in the Old Testament prophets said it. So why can't we say it? That's the only way you can receive Jesus Christ truly is by repenting of your sins and getting out of your sins and start allowing the Holy Spirit to change you. And then you become a true child of God. There's a lot of churches say that you don't need to repent. You know, a little sin ain't going to kill nobody. Oh, yeah, it is. It's going to take you straight to hell. But, you know, God also says you're going to be held accountable if you don't teach the truth of his word. All right. The Bible describes the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings in Revelations 17, 14, and 19 and 16. In serving Jesus right now, while we live on this earth, we are serving the one who has received from God the Father all authority in heaven and on earth. And Matthew, we find that in Matthew 28, 18. Jesus received all authority in heaven and on earth. We have the same power and authority right now flowing through us, and all we have to do is to apply it to destroy the enemy. If we don't apply it, you're not going to get free from anything. Through Jesus, we pray to the Father, thy kingdom come. And that kingdom of God has come to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. How many of you recently, you just feel like you don't even belong to this earth? You know, like you're a foreigner here. And I really believe that as we draw closer to God, we aren't part of this earth anymore. We belong to the kingdom of heaven. And God wants us to, I'm hearing him say, he wants you to stay there frozen in space. So, you know, so he can just download his presence into you. And then when he drops you back down, I'm just hearing him say, when he drops you back down again, then you'll go forth with power and authority and you will destroy the enemy on all sides. All right. In Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. This is Jesus speaking. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's Jesus himself, and he's telling us what he was sent here to do. You have the same job. You have to do the same thing that Jesus was sent here to do. Jesus is no longer on this earth. He's in heaven. And God wants to work through us vessels of honor to bring the lost into the house. Now, the sixth point. Jesus was sent to proclaim good news to the poor. This poor man, you and I, was lost in sin, spiritually bankrupt, until we heard and embraced the saving gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. God sent his son from heaven to earth to bring that good news to our ears and our hearts. How many of you, when you first went to church, you just went to church? You carried your Bible, but you didn't read it. You just listened to what the preacher said, and you believed everything he said. That is the reason why we have a lot of sin in the house of God, is because people just went to church. But once you became born again, really, you know, born again, really give yourself to God, then things in your life start changing. Then all of a sudden, well, with me, I realized I could talk to God. I realized he talked to me. I realized I had angelic protection. I realized that whatever the words that I could do, I could do. And when I did it in faith, it happened. Are you understanding this? See, the body of Christ does not understand there's a difference between going to church and being born again. Being born again means you just give yourself all to God and your life changes and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care how long you've been in church. You're going to have to become born again before you can reach heaven. All right, the seventh point is Jesus was sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. And as a result, we were imprisoned and held captive by our sins and all the foul habits resulting from our sinful natures. But Jesus was sent to save us and bring us freedom from those captivities. You don't have to stay captive to a sin. Jesus made the way of escape. And he's here forever, you know, in heaven, at the right hand of the Father, forever interceding for you and I, so that God doesn't smack us on the head real good. He is interceding for you. He loves you. That's why he went to the cross for you. And he doesn't want you to go to hell. And he's interceding to the Father. Give them another chance. But I don't know how many chances the Father's going to give us. There is a time when God said enough is enough. Our eighth point is Jesus was sent to bring recovery of sight to the blind. This is certainly true spiritually, as the truth of God's word breaks through to us and we turn to Jesus Christ in faith and repentance. In faith and repentance. It is also true physically. You just can't say, well, I'm going to go to church on Sunday now. I'm doing a good thing. No, you're not. It's a habit. No, you have to go to church expecting God to change you. And you have to be determined in your heart you're going to get changed. And I know some of you in here took you years to get truly changed. You know, little by little by little, God yanked all that junk out of you. And you can, you know, I've had some of you say to me, I look back and think, wow, you know, it took a long time. And I didn't know all that stuff was there, and I didn't know I could walk in this much freedom. Right? Come on. But you had to pursue that freedom. It just didn't fall on you. You had to pursue it. And you had to say, God, how much more junk's in me, right? And then he says, I'm just going to keep right on working with you until I get you perfected. And some of us think we have it made and we don't have it made. Okay. And I said, us, me included. While on earth, Jesus healed the blind, the deaf, the lame, and those afflicted with all kinds of illnesses. And Jesus still heals today. Why? Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, I might change, but Jesus does not change. That's in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus saved people from sin 2,000 years ago, and he saves us from sin today. Likewise, Jesus healed the sick 2,000 years ago, and he does the same today in the 21st century. He's still healing. It's our faith that's has a flaw in it. But he is still healing. All right, the ninth point was Jesus was sent to set the oppressed free. The Father sent the Son to earth to free us from oppressions of all kinds. Are you under stress, pressures, afflictions, perhaps even crushing calamities? If you are, look to Jesus. He was sent to set the oppressed free, and that absolutely includes each one of us. Just not one person. He's setting every one of us free. We have to receive that freedom. I'm hearing God say, why do you want to go back into bondage again when you know the truth about being set free? Or if you've been set free, why do you want to go back into bondage again? Are you listening here? Think about this. All right, the 10th point is Jesus was sent to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That favor from God can be yours today. His blessings are not just for the ancient Bible heroes. They are not just for those already in heaven. They can be yours today in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul exhorts us, I tell you, now is a time of God's favor. God's been telling us that now for a couple months. And that's in 2 Corinthians 6:2. So you say, how can I receive God's favor and his blessings? No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen in Christ. If he said it, he's going to do it. See, that's another problem with the body of Christ. They don't believe that what he says he's going to do. And if he doesn't do it right when we think he should, we definitely don't believe he's going to do what he's going to do. And then we start questioning. And then that's when we lose out. We fall short. We need to stand our ground in Christ Jesus and understand that if God said it, it will happen. It might take 10, it's not going to take 10 years anymore. But at one point, it was taking 10 years for this to happen. But it happens in God's timing. All right, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promise of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us." Then Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And each one of us can say that this past couple years has been really hard to serve. We have grown weary in serving. And every now and then we might even say, well, why don't they serve me? But Jesus never said that. Jesus came to serve, and that's what he did. All right, let's look at the 11th point. Jesus was sent to serve, to give, and not to be catered to. So all you guys that think you need to be catered to, Jesus didn't think that. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He gave his life. Think about this. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came from heaven to earth to serve. All you husbands need to understand that you are the priest in your household and you are to serve your wife and children. Don't you get married yet? You don't have that down pat yet. Okay? Come on. And how can you serve like Jesus would if you have sin in your life? How can you serve like Jesus does if you haven't perfected your love walk? Think about that. Did you ask that young lady there to marry you? Yeah. Do you love her? Absolutely. Are you being a godly man? Now, don't lie. You're in the house of God. Yeah, I know. That's a good answer. But see, the best you can has to get better. And the only way that gets better is if you start serving God with all of your heart, really seeking his face and really talking to him. And then your life starts changing, and then even your love for your fiance there will start changing. It'll get deeper and you know, wider, and at a bit it'll just consume you, and you'll want the very best for her. All right? You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and the first time I met him, well, they were coming to my house a year ago, God said, "Don't you two get married." And the man said, "Thank you, God." But yesterday they were visiting, and I come down the stair steps and I looked at them, and God said, "Why aren't they married?" You know, so I didn't say nothing. About an hour later, we were doing something, and, you know, and God had me look at them and said, he said to me, "Why aren't they married?" I still didn't say anything. Then the third time God said, "Oh," I said, "Okay, God wants to know why you're not married." And you know, they were excited. They said they really wanted, they didn't want to get married when they first came, and God knew that, so they, "Don't you dare get married." But now they want to get married. They're just trying to get enough money together to do it. Then later on in the evening, about 8:30, I was sitting there beside the young man, and you know, and his girlfriend was sitting across the way from us, and I was listening. She was talking to Tina, and so I was listening. Then God said, "You tell him." He'll never find another woman that will love him like she does. So I said, tapped him on the leg, and I said, so I told him that, and he says, "I know." He said, we've been together 3 years, and he has it down to month, a day, and everything else. He said, "We've never had one crossword." He said, "We really do love each other." But see, when I first, you know, they first started coming, they had a little bit of baggage with them. And you know, God had to get all that baggage out. And now God's saying, "Now you can marry." See how God works? Awesome, isn't it? And yeah, don't come sit beside me. You might hear something you don't want to hear. Okay. So ask yourself if Jesus, the Lord and Savior, left heaven to serve you in his life, death, and resurrection for our salvation, how much more should we be humble, willing, self-sacrificing servants of the Lord and of our fellow man? Let's read that again. Ask yourself if Jesus, the Lord and Savior, left heaven to serve us in his life, death, and resurrection for our salvation. How much more should we be humble, willing, self-sacrificing servants of the Lord and of our fellow man? In other words, we're supposed to be doing what Jesus does. In John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Who sent him? God the Father. So Jesus said, "I'm not coming down here to do my thing. I'm coming down here to do my Father's thing." Each one of us, God brought each one of us down to earth from heaven to do his will. And lo and behold, we decided to do our will. And that's why we got messed up. But I know that you guys in here, you've realized that you're supposed to be doing God's will, and you started changing your ways, and you've changed your ways, and now you just want what the Father wants, right? So John 12:49 says, Jesus speaking, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." So this is where you need to learn to button your lip and only speak when God tells you to speak. And if you speak on your own, you're going to get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. All right? So it's just like when he said, "Why aren't they married?" That was him speaking. That wasn't me speaking. I didn't want to be in that pool. But he wanted them to know it was okay for them now to get married. All right, the 12th point. Jesus was sent from heaven to earth to do the Father's will and to speak the Father's words. And Jesus said, "I do nothing of myself." John 8:28. Our Savior Jesus was entirely committed to submitting his own will to that of God the Father. So should we. The perfect example of our Lord gives new meaning to the prayer he taught. And he taught us, "Our Father, which art in heaven, thy will be done." Matthew 6:9-10. How many of you pray that? Sometimes you don't want God's will to be done. You want your will to be done. Isn't that the way it used to work? And so, but we have to pray that God's will be done, not ours. Just as Jesus did, so should we determine that our speech, our words, our conversations will reflect the words and the heart of God. You know, we had somebody email back and forth. You know, they were trying to get a home and everything, and the person got really, I'll say, frustrated, scared, and she sent the email to me, and I had it for 2 days because I don't speak unless God tells me to. And then lo and behold, God said, even though she was in a strait, God told her, he said, "Be still. I've got all this covered. I've been working behind the scene." And then she sent Brother Chris an email saying, "I got a place." But for her email that she sent, she said, I'm looking at the street. I don't have a place to go. But I waited, and then God spoke, and then he moved. See this? You don't have to answer everybody right away. Because, you know, if God's not speaking, you be quiet. And when God's ready, he will speak. People send me emails, and they're in my email box. They might be there a week. I look at them every day, a couple times a day. And then when God speaks, I send it. Otherwise, they don't get it. They don't get an answer. All right. You got that down? Only when God speaks do you speak. All right. This confirms the great importance of reading our Bibles regularly so that we are increasingly familiar with the thoughts of God on a multitude of subjects and can share those divine thoughts in our everyday speech. In other words, you need to know what the Word says so you, when you run into a sinner, you can tell him or her what the Bible tells them about sin and getting saved. If you don't know the Word, you can't tell anybody anything, right? In John 17:18, Jesus said, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." He didn't send you to heaven, Aaron. He sent you into the world to get changed, you know, so you could change the world. Are you understanding this? You're a heavenly being sent from heaven to be a witness about Jesus here on this earth. Do you all agree with that? Do you really believe that? You should, because it's the truth. Then in John 20:21, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And in Acts 1:1, Luke looks back on all that Jesus began to do and teach, is what Acts 1:1 said. He looked back at everything that Jesus did. And remember, that's what God had me do. Get into the Word, and every place in red, when Jesus speaks, was speaking, study that. And that's how he taught me. And I studied what Jesus said, and then I started doing what Jesus told me I could do. I was not doing what I thought I should do. Okay? In Acts 1:1, Luke looks back on all that Jesus began to do and teach. And in John 21:25, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. So Jesus, what it's telling us is Jesus did more than what was written in the Bible. There's not enough books to tell of all the miracles that he performed. So if God's asking you to do something and somebody says, "Show me the word," it might not be in the word. But you just have to know that you know that you know that you belong to Jesus and that you hear his voice and that you are doing what he's telling you to do. All right? But now in this age of the church, he has commissioned us to continue to do and teach these things. Why do you think he dropped a Glory Wednesday night? He commissioned us. We have to go forth now and preach the gospel. We are ambassadors of his love. And 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through you and I. It says us. In this time between the Lord's first and second coming, Jesus has sent his people with the same commission. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And the reason why I ask you, do you feel like you're not even part of this world, is because God has separated us from the world. And we just don't feel comfortable here. And so as God makes us feel uncomfortable, makes us feel like we're not in the place we should be, that means we have to go higher into the spirit realm so God can give us instructions on how to go out there and win the lost. This is not something you try to make happen, saints. Please don't try to make it happen. If it's truly God, it will just happen. I watch people try to make God move. You can't make God move. Why would you even want to do that? Because there's no anointing if you're trying to make him move. It's just you. So I'm teaching this because you are now ambassadors. You have to go forth and do the things that God's told you to do. Your assignment is here. And you should be out there working for God. Okay, we now have Christ's commission and the privilege to minister as his ambassadors. This is what we're supposed to be doing, to seek out the lost and tell them about the Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't do it like I do sometimes. I say, you know, you're going to go straight to hell. I get so tired of being nice to people and living the life, and they just keep being stupid. I just tell them, you're going to go to hell if you don't straighten out. I mean, don't be like me. But you do get tired of it. I get tired of it. Now, I'm not going to say you do. I do. It's been a long time I've been doing this. And some of you, I told you the same thing. All right, number two, we're supposed to lead lost sinners from death and hell to life in Christ. Number three, to be messengers to the world of Christ's desire to bless them. And number four, to exhort people to turn from wickedness to a pure, holy Savior who loves them. This is what we're supposed to be teaching. Fifth thing is to tell them about the kingdom of God, that there is a loving, almighty God who rules this earth and the entire universe. The sixth thing is to proclaim the good news of the gospel to the poor and the rich and all in between. I don't care if you think, well, that pastor knows it all. No, they don't. No, they don't. When I was an evangelist and he was sending me to preach to the pastors, I said, God, they've been pastoring for 40 years. There's nothing I can teach them. He said, you'll be surprised when I use you to tell them. And I was surprised, but they didn't know. And God was using me through the Spirit to teach them. Some received, some rejected. That's not your problem. You just need to go. Be the vessel. and you tell them exactly what you hear God say, whether they receive or not is not your problem. Always remember that. It's their salvation. They're supposed to work it out themselves. Now, the seventh thing we're supposed to do is to minister the freedom Christ brings to those imprisoned by sin, addictions, and bondages. Eighth thing is to bring divine healing to the sick, the infirm, and even the blind. The ninth thing is to deliver the gospel message that in Christ we may be set free from every oppression. Number 10, to tell hopeless people of God's desire to show them his favor. And we're going to run into a lot of hopeless people that's out there on the street, won't we? Because they don't know Christ. And they just, well, might as well just die. And they go and commit suicide because they don't know there is a loving Father. And number 11, to live as Jesus did on earth, to serve and to give. This is the important one. To live as Jesus did on earth, to serve and to give. Number 12, to do the Father's will daily. Thy will be done. And to speak his words to this world as ambassadors of the Son of God. That's your commission. That's what you're supposed to be doing. All right. You're supposed to be doing all this with love because God's made us love vessels. Now, this is God speaking. My children, I have called each of you to a solemn assembly in the upper room. I have called this assembly to appeal to you to go forth and conquer on all sides and bring in the harvest of lost and dying souls. Now, God said, hell is widening her walls each day to receive the harvest of souls that no one will go and minister to. You are my lights in this dark, foreboding world. Go forth and proclaim the gospel of good news and peace. Cast your nets forth, little ones, and become fishers of men. Are you really ready to do this? You know, you can't change anybody, okay? You can't do that. You can lead them. You can be an example to them. You can tell them of the love of God. You can tell them of the wrath of God. You can tell them what they should be doing, but you can't change them. And if you can get that down into your, you need to get that down into your spirit before you go out there and start ministering to the world. You need to understand that it's the Holy Spirit's job to change people, not yours. Because I know I went that road for a while, and I just thought I just had to change that person. And God said, daughter, if the Holy Spirit can't do it, why do you think you can do it? It's the Holy Spirit that changes people. So what you need is the Holy Spirit living in you richly. You need to be walking in the Spirit at all times so you can hear God's voice at all times. And then whenever you speak to somebody, the Holy Spirit will speak through you and tell them what they need to hear. And then you just say, I love you, and leave it go. If they keep persisting in their sin and in your face, then you tell them you need to get it together. Amen. So are you ready to be ambassadors for Christ? Are you truly ready to go forth? Because God dropped his glory in here Wednesday night, and it's still here today. The anointing and the praise and worship was off the charts. Thank you for the shofar. That really helped. But God's not leaving. He's going to make you leave. If you really don't want to get out of your sin nature, and he's not going to let you sit in the house of God anymore. He's going to make you leave. He will force you out. He knows how to do that. I don't know how to do that. Besides, take you to the arm and throw you out on the street. No, I don't do that. So you guys, you know, you have to really be determined in your heart of hearts that you're going to serve God with every part of your being, that you're going to walk in holiness and pureness of heart and righteousness, and go forth and just conquer. Because God will not tolerate any more sin in the house. So is your vessel a house? Sure it is. Then make sure there's no sin in your house. If there's no sin in your house, then you don't bring it into the house of God. And then we'll see people be set free. Aren't you ready for the miraculous? Aren't you ready for anybody walking through the doors are healed? set free, raise the people from the dead. You know, a lot of people are dead and they don't know it. They haven't fallen down yet. I mean, you realize they're dead on their feet, right? Spiritually dead, and they don't know it. So we need to raise them from the dead. I'm hearing God say, just scream, Lazarus, come forth, and make the devils flee. Are you ready for that? If you are, there's a special anointing at the altar today. And God's going to give you that special anointing. And when you go, you will lead and you will not follow. So the anointing to lead and not follow is here if you really want it. And that anointing to lead and not follow will also, go ahead, you can stand up, will also set the captives free.